Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Sportsman Legend. Hello, my co-host, Macaulay Matthew. I'm, of course, William Ramo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, man. How's it going? Doing good.
That's good. That's good. You're in the right. If you're feeling good, you're in the right place.
Oh, yeah.
So, again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for checking out this show. On today's show, we're going to do what we always do. We're going to talk sports and entertainment and everything else. So if you want to talk about the draft, how the Giants and the Jets did in the draft, if you want to talk about the current state of the Mets and the Yankees, the Knicks, the Nets, WWE, AEW, Impact, you know, whatever's on your mind, you know, this is the place for you to express yourself. And, you know, you don't have to pay therapy bills, you know, to get on the show. Free of charge. Just let your voice be heard. So... if you're checking out the show for the first time, welcome to the show. If you've been a lifelong listener of this show since 2009, thank you for the constant support. And anybody in between, thank you for checking out this show. Again, we're gonna kick off with some football, talk baseball, wrestling, you know the deal. So if you wanna give us a call, talk to me and Mac. You guys already know the number is 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So feel free to let your voice be heard. We're here for you. With that said, Mac, let's dive right into the football.
Are you ready for some football?
All right, man. So, of course, we all know Trevor Lawrence, the guy that the Jets were going after for months, you know, until, you know, it was basically mathematically impossible for them to get because they won a couple of games down the stretch. They set their sights on Zach Wilson. And, of course, you know, once they traded away Sam Darnold to the Panthers, you know, it was a foregone conclusion that Zach Wilson is going to be the next the next quarterback to pilot the Jets to hopefully to the promised land, you know, down the line. And sure enough, with the second pick, after Jaguars picked Trevor Lawrence, the New York Jets selected, drumroll please, Zach Wilson from BYU. And, of course, it was the best pick they could have done, and it was anticlimactic, but... you know, they got their man. That's the guy that they should have went after. You know, he looked, even though, you know, he's been playing in Utah his whole life, you know, growing up there. You know, he looks like he's ready for the bright lights of New York. So, you know, welcome aboard. You know, his move, you know, that you know, draft pick, you know, signaled a new era for the Jets. So the Robert Sala Jets, you know, so the Joe Douglas Jets, you know. So basically, you know, Zach Wilson, you know, he has that potential. Like Darnold, he had the potential, but thankfully the Jets, you know, they made some moves, you know, in the offseason and in this draft. Drafting some players, you know, to help, you know, turn this around. They drafted Michael Carter, you know, who's a running back. They drafted a wide receiver. Forgot his name for the moment. It was like Vera something. I can't remember right now. But yeah, they made some moves to improve the team. And I mean, that's more than what you could ask for, you know. You know, they got Zach Wilson with the number one pick, with the number two pick, first round. The 14th pick was Elijah Vera Tucker. And then, of course, the second round, they got the wide receiver Elijah Moore. Round four, they got Michael Carter. And basically, they got some linebacker and corner backers in the draft. So, you know, they definitely improved the offensive line and the defensive line. So, you know, props to them, you know, because they had a lot of stuff they had to fix in the off season because, you know, Darnold was really was like a man fighting for himself. And, you know, he had a horrible year. And to be honest with you, I credit Adam Gase for that, you know, for that horrible season that he had, because I think a change of scenery for Darnold in Carolina will do wonders for him. So, but with that said, it's a new era for the Jets, and you know, it's looking good for the Jets. What's your thoughts?
Well, you know, you got your man. You know, well, not Trevor Lawrence, but you got your second man on the list after Trevor Lawrence. And Zach Wilson, he had a stellar year last year playing for BYU. You know, so Jets are hoping that this guy can become the next Joe Namath and lead them to that promised land, you know, that they haven't seen since 1968, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a while. So hopefully Zach Wilson will be that guy. And Jets, you know, they got weapons for him now. They drafted wide receivers. They got a running back. Looks like they improved their defense. They got some safeties, some defensive tackles. So, you know, we'll see how, you know, those players fit into this Jets system and how the Jets' offense and defense fares this upcoming year. But, you know, they got their man, Zach Wilson, most importantly. So hopefully, you know, we'll see how he does, you know, as the new Jets quarterback. Hopefully he doesn't let the pressure get to him like it did with Darnold.
And it's going to be very confusing for the Jets if you want to get a Jets jersey because they have two Michael Carters on the team.
Oh, yeah.
They got the running back and the cornerback.
Wow.
On the team.
Whose jersey do you want?
Well, if I'm getting a jersey, I would get Wilson's one. But if I had to choose between the two, I would get the running back, the Michael Carter one. You know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you know, I'm really looking optimistic, you know, about this. And you know, I listened to, you know, some of the clips of the calls that they made with the players, you know, about, you know, how they wanted them and stuff like that. And I'm trying to remember which play they were talking about. It probably was Elijah Vera Tucker, because I think they were looking for him, but you know, obviously they had to get Zach Wilson, and they didn't think he was going to still be there. So, you know, they traded up or down for him. I can't remember. You know, they traded for him, and, you know, they thought he would have been gone already. Oh, yeah, they traded up, right, because they had the 23rd pick, and then they moved up to the 14th pick.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so, you know, they definitely, you know, I really like the moves. You know, the guys who they drafted, they definitely have potential. You know, Elijah Moore, he's a small guy, but he got that blazing speed, you know. So I think I really like the makeup of this, the guys they drafted.
Yeah, they had a decent draft.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Props to them. They just got to stay healthy. For real.
Yeah.
And, you know, shifting gears to the Giants. The Giants didn't do too shabby themselves. You know, they you know, the Giants, man, they they really went to plan B because the Cowboys and the Eagles, they try to pull a shenanigan play on them. But props to Trader Dave, who finally earned that nickname, because prior to this year's draft, he never traded down. You know, he made some noise in this NFL draft. He made a couple of trades, trading down, and you know, he must have foresaw what the Eagles and the Eagles and the Cowboys were doing when they traded for Devontae Smith. But you know, the Giants, they traded down with the Bears, and they got Kadarius Toney, you know, the wide receiver. So, you know, props to them. The 50th pick, they got Azeez Ojulari, who's a linebacker, third round, you know, the 71st pick from the Broncos. Garen Robinson, a linebacker, Elson Smith, the 196th pick from the sixth round, they got Gary Brightwell, a running back. So, you know, the Giants, you know, they made some moves to improve their team for your boy Jones. So what's your thoughts?
Yeah, it was a very good draft for the Giants. You know, despite the Cowboys and Eagles trying to ruin our draft night by stealing the wide receiver that we wanted, Giants still ended up having a very good draft. You know, they got Kadarius Toney from Florida, one of the best wideouts in this draft. So I like that pick. I think he, you know, if they put him in there, you know, alongside Sterling Shepard, and who's the other kid again? I'm forgetting his name. Is it Slayton? I think it's Darius Slayton. And you know, Saquon. I mean, that's going to be a very good offense for Daniel Jones next season. So, and they improved their defense even more. I mean, Giants, they improved their defense vastly in this offseason, but now you had a linebacker, you had some cornerbacks. I mean, Giants did very good. They did very good. If I were to judge and if I were to grade their draft selection this offseason, I would give it an A minus or A. A or A minus, you know. It's not A plus, but, you know, A is a very high grade. So I would definitely, that would be my grade for them. Yep. They did well.
Yeah, Gettleman should definitely pat himself on the back. And I'm sure, you know, Daniel Jones feels like a kid on Christmas Day, so.
Yeah. Got his candy and his cookies.
And he didn't have to steal from a baby.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, but I bet they wish they could have stole it from the Cowboys and Eagles for that, what they did.
Yeah. It's the first time that I've seen that. Giants, Cowboys and Eagles trading with each other. That usually doesn't happen during the draft.
Mm-hmm. That would be like the Braves and Phillies trading in the NFC East. The NL East, I should say.
Yeah, or the Cowboys or the Red Sox and Yankees trading or MLB. Well, I think that's happened before, actually.
Yeah, you guys just traded away. Wasn't it out of Vino, I think? You guys just traded in the offseason?
Well, I'm talking about during the draft, but I think that's happened. But, yeah, I mean, usually that doesn't happen in the football between, you know, division rivals, especially in NFC East. So I'm surprised to see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was definitely surprising, but fortunately for the Giants, they have a genius, you know, running the show in Gettleman, you know, who had his plan B, and, you know.
Yeah. It still worked out.
Yeah, still worked out. He didn't have to suffer the sting of assuming that he was going to get him for sure. Because one thing you can be sure of in sports, that you can't be sure of anything.
Right.
That's why you got to play the games. It doesn't matter how good you look on paper. You know, it's how you play the game.
Yep.
Like Parcells says, you are what your record says you are. So. But yeah, speaking of a guy who, you know, who hasn't been in the league for years, Tim Tebow, he was rumored to work out with his former head coach from the football team, the mm-hmm. Gators, Urban Meyer. He was reportedly training out with the Jaguars as a tight end. So there's a possibility he might come back, and that would be the perfect spot for him. Jacksonville is where he, he did a lot of amazing things over there with the Gators in college, winning like two national championships over there. So yeah, it would be the perfect spot for him to go and play with Trevor Lawrence. I think that'd be interesting. Would be an interesting dynamic if that didn't go down.
Yeah. You know, I thought the shocking news that came out of NFL draft was Aaron Rodgers wants out of Green Bay.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's not really that surprising because of that crazy ending to end up, you know, their season in the postseason. I kind of foresaw that this could have been a possibility, but yeah, Aaron Rodgers, man, he's been loyal to that, you know, to that green and yellow, but I guess he got that final straw of that crazy, you know, crazy situation.
What if Jets wanted to trade Zach Wilson some draft picks and, you know, a player right now, one of the veteran players, to Green Bay for Aaron Rodgers? Would you accept that deal?
I don't think they're going to do it. I mean,
hypothetically speaking, if they did, would you be happy with that?
I mean, Aaron Rodgers, obviously, he's going to the Hall of Fame, you know, but I wouldn't trade. If I were to acquire Rodgers, I wouldn't give up Wilson, because Zach Wilson idolized Aaron Rodgers. So if you would have got Aaron Rodgers, he's willing to come for like a year or two and, you know, mentor him, kind of like, you know, have a situation kind of like Brett Favre, you know, and him when he was coming up, and then, you know, he would pass the torch to him. I mean, that would be a scenario, but they'd have to both be cool with that. But yeah, I don't see it. I don't see it happening because right now you got to throw the kid to the fire. You know, you drafted him, you believe he's the future, you know, you got to go with him.
Now, you don't see it happening, but again, hypothetically, if they did, if Mets did do it, how would you feel about it? Would you like it, or would you not like it?
I'd be on the fence with it. I mean, I'd be on the fence with it because obviously you get a Hall of Fame guy. If he's, if he's interested in coming for a few years and mentor him, and Zach Wilson's cool with it, yeah, I mean, I'd be fine with it for a few years and, you know, help them win a championship. That would, you know, I'd be cool with that. But, you know, and then when he's ready to retire in a few years, or you move in a different direction, hopefully after you win a title, you know, you give it to the kid and, you know, see he's ready. But the negative part of it would be, would you mess up his growth? You know, him, you know, being backing up somebody instead of throwing him to the fire.
Well, I mean,
I guess it depends on the individual.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, if you have a chance to get Aaron Rodgers,
you do it. I would give
you gotta
up.
Do it.
If Giants were to trade Daniel Jones for Aaron, I'd do that in a second. If Aaron Rodgers comes to the Giants right now, Giants automatically become a Super Bowl contender.
Mm-hmm.
No question about it. You know, I'd take Aaron Rodgers right now. If I pairing him and Saquon and the wide receiver you just got from Lions, I mean, that'd be a great team, man.
Yeah.
I would love that deal if they did that.
I'm with you with that. There's only a few people I would be willing to trade for, like him, you know, Russell Wilson, you know. There are very few people in the league that I would trust if you make a move, you know, get a veteran that You know, you'd make them instant championship contenders.
Yeah. Yeah, and if the Giants, you know, they do do that, I'm celebrating tomorrow. I'm opening a bottle of champagne, you know.
Play that celebration song from Cool
Hell yeah. And everything, man. That happened. Watch.
Mm-hmm. Well, if it makes you feel better, you've seen the Giants win a title multiple times, so.
Yeah, but it's been what? It's what have you done for me lately, right? It's been 10 years.
But, yeah, speaking of a team that hasn't done stuff for many years is the New York Knicks, man. You know, they recently had their 9-game winning streak snapped on Monday night against the Suns by the final score of 118-110. And, man, that was the weirdest game I've seen all season. It was like Knicks were scoring. The Knicks were really scoring, but the Suns were like a team of, I would even say Monstars. They were like a team of, like, Jason, Freddy Krueger, Michael Myers. They just, no matter how much we scored, they were scoring too. You know what I mean? It didn't even look like we were even playing it didn't even look like we weren't even playing bad defense. It looked like that team was just so hot. Like, no matter what you did, you just couldn't stop them. Like, Devin Booker, Chris Paul, man, like, they were just, we went on a 15-0 run, but they still were scoring, too. It was like, normally when you're going to a run like that, it was like, oh, man, this team is in a slump. But it was like this, we were knocking down unbelievable shots that you would think we were an NBA hang time or NBA jam or something, like, you know what I mean? Like, we were nailing threes like nothing. And then there was, like, a guy on the Suns who was, like, 0-for-7. I think his name was Johnson. I can't remember. And then once it got to, like, the fourth quarter, man, he started nailing some threes. And then it was, like, basically the rest was history. Like, once they took that lead, man, like, once I saw, like, it was cutting down to, like, 7 or something, I was like, man, if we blow this lead, we're gonna lose this game. Cause they were relentless. They didn't stop. Even when we had like a 15-point lead, you know, like teams go on runs. So it's like, okay, you miss some shots, they miss some shots, and then a run happened. But it was like, even when we were on our huge runs, they were still scoring. It was like unbelievable. Like I don't know if you noticed that, but it was like, it was crazy. We couldn't stop them.
Well,
they were just a better team.
The Knicks' defense in the second half was not that good. They're giving up a lot of open three-pointers, which killed them. They were letting Booker have his way.
Mm-hmm.
And in that fourth quarter, Chris Paul, clutch. He was just hitting
mm-hmm.
impossible shots. Those are what killed the Knicks.
Yeah,
man. If Knicks play that team again in the future, their defense has to be much better guarding these players at the three-point
mm-hmm.
line. Because they were just swinging the ball, and you know, they were leaving a lot of guys open for threes.
Yeah, funny how you say that. We're gonna face them 6 days from now, May 7th, in Phoenix.
Hopefully, we can win that one, because you know, if we play like that again, you know, that's not gonna be pretty this time.
Yo, man, I gotta admit, man, this was the scariest team I've seen all year. I mean, we faced some tough teams, but this was like a team like. We gave them our best, but our best wasn't good enough. They were like,
yeah,
really?
We didn't give them our best because Randall didn't play that good that night.
Oh, well, yeah. Randall was horrible. He scored like 7 points.
Yeah, Randall didn't play.
I agree,
I don't think, played as well as he should have either. You know? Barrett could have had a better game.
I think
Rose could
have
even been
beginning.
Had a better game too, I think. You
repeat
know?
That?
Barrett could have had a better game. Rose could have played much better, I think.
Oh, yeah,
Rose
yeah,
did
yeah,
score,
yeah.
But Rose didn't have... He didn't have the game that we saw him the way he was playing during that 9-game winning streak. His defense on Paul was not that good, you know, especially in the fourth quarter. So, yeah, I mean,
Suns
are a very good team. You know, they're
mm-hmm.
a very good team. But, yeah, if we play like that again, we're going to be blown out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, they definitely got to get their act together because, unfortunately, you know, we wanted that win. We wanted that W before the road trip. But fortunately, Wednesday night, we bounced back and beat the Bulls, final score 113-94. And, yeah, Randle bounced back from that horrible start. He scored 34 points. To go along with 7 rebounds, RJ Barrett, you know, he scored 22 points, had 7 rebounds, 6 assists. Yeah, so you know, we definitely needed that W, because this road trip starting tomorrow night on Sunday is going to be tough. We're going to be on the road against the Rockets, the Grizzlies.
We should beat the Rockets. Rockets are not that good.
Yeah, I hear you, but you know you're gonna be on the road, so it's not gonna be as easy on that trip. But yeah, can't fall with that. But yeah, you know, we're gonna be facing Rockets, Grizzlies, Nuggets, Suns, Clippers, Lakers, and then we're gonna return home against the San Antonio on Thursday night, May 13th. So yeah, we definitely gotta bring our A game on this road trip. How you think we're gonna do?
I think if we at least go 500, we should be all right.
Yeah.
Well, if we do five, right now we're in the fourth seed. The Atlanta lost the other night. So if we just split this road trip, we should be fine. Or if we can do even better, that'd be great.
Mhm. Yeah, because we only got the Bucks, the 76ers, and the Nets to look up to.
Yeah.
In this division.
But this team has fight. You know, they have fight. So I don't think, you know, they're gonna experience any, bad losses. If they lose, I think they're going to be in every game. So we'll see.
But yeah, they definitely gotta set the tone tonight. Well, not tonight, Sunday night against the Rockets. You know, they got the, you know, they're a horrible team, 16-48. But you know, we can't play to our competition. And for the most part, the Knicks they've been playing. They've been shocking some people, so there should be a W. But it's until you play the games when you see.
Yeah, you know, this is a different Knicks team this year, so you know, I expect them to fight and to play good defense and be in every game, nothing else.
Mm-hmm. Right about that. And then on the Nets, I think the Nets won yesterday. Let me see if they played today. Oh, actually, they're gonna play tomorrow night against the Bucks in Milwaukee. Yeah, they lost. The Nets lost 128-109. I think yeah, this was the game. I think Kyrie Irving was only playing. I don't think Durant and Harden was playing that game.
Yeah, that trio has hard to play together this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Irving only had 28 points. And, the new net, Mike James, who the Knicks were interested in possibly signing, he scored 15 points. But, yeah. Prior to that, the Nets, they won 128-119. It seemed like, with Durant, it seemed like they're like a totally different, team when it's, when Durant and Harden's in the lineup. But when Kyrie Irving is there by himself, it don't seem like they win. It's like they could get by with Harden or Durant. It's like they have four different teams. It's like, they got one with the big three in it. They got one with only with Kevin Durant. They have one only with Kyrie. They have one with with only Harden, because they rarely play together. It kind of reminded me of Saved by the Bell with the last season where you know sometimes you see Kelly and Jesse, or sometimes you see just Tori. It's like you never see that consistency of them playing, you know, of them playing together, and they're definitely gonna need that. They need to play together before they start this postseason, you know, very soon, because you can't expect a team that only plays 7 games together and then they magically go to the playoffs, and just because of their sheer talent, they're just going to run roughshod on everybody. You know, there got to be some chemistry, you know.
Yeah, and that's fighting for that number one spot with Sixers right now.
Mhm. Yeah, they lead by half a game on the 76ers.
Yeah, so that's gonna go down to the wire.
Yeah, and that's tomorrow afternoon. They're gonna try to snap. They're gonna try to prevent a 2-game losing streak. The 76ers, they are currently on a 3-game winning streak, and you know, we basically got to hold our end of the bargain of keeping the Hawks at bay. We got like a game on the Bucks. So we got to hold them down. Cuz the last thing the Knicks need is to go into that play-in. So, like you said, if we finish 500 in the road, you know, we'll be fine. Anything worse than that, you know, it's not going to make things easy for us, so.
Well, we're not catching the Bucks. I mean, we're probably not going to catch the Bucks. Right now,
nah.
We need to focus on just playing well enough to maintain this 4th seed.
Oh, yeah.
And not falling down, not dropping down in the standings.
Yeah, I agree with you. We got like we're four games behind them. How many games do we have left? Maybe 10 or so?
9, yeah.
Plus we're on the West Coast for the most part. The odds of us overtaking the Bucks is I say it's slim to none, but we got a shot. You know, the way how we've been playing lately, you know, you never say never. But yeah, the most important thing is we got to keep the Hawks from overtaking us.
Yep.
But shifting gears. The Yankees. Congratulations to the Yankees. Tyone, the guy literally won his first. Do you know when was the last time he won a game before today?
Man, 2 years.
Literally, exactly 2 years.
Yeah.
May 1st, 2019. It literally took him 2 years.
It's
2 years. Exactly 2 years.
It's
2-year anniversary for him to win his next, for him to win his first game as a Yankee. And to win his first game in 2 years since he was a Pittsburgh Pirate.
Yeah, congrats to him. Got his first
yep.
one today. The Yankees look good. You know,
mm-hmm.
they've been on a winning streak lately, you know?
Yep.
They're about to sweep the Tigers if they finish off this sweep tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, the offense
Aaron Judge.
Pounded the Tigers like a
Van
Gogh video.
He just destroyed them.
Oh, yeah. Aaron Judge had a grand slam, a 2-run home run game. And the Yankee offense looked good, beat him 10-0. And Gerrit Cole, man, he's pitching like Cy Young.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this guy has he's 4-1 with 1.43 ERA. And I don't know how many strikeouts he has, but at this pace, he could have like 300 strikeouts. I mean, every
mm-hmm.
game he's having like double-digit strikeouts.
Yep.
This guy is insane. So he's been carrying our pitching staff, and right now the Yankees, they're playing well. You know, they're back
mm-hmm.
in tune, so look out, Red Sox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think Hoover won the game Friday night too.
So, yeah.
You know, so.
So we're coming back.
They're picking up the slack for Gerrit Cole, you know. He can't
yep.
be carrying all the load by himself. And your boy Chapman.
Oh, yeah.
Tonight.
Yeah, the guy that you put in the same category as Benitez.
No. I said the last couple of years, especially last year, he's been shaky.
Well,
that's what I've been saying. Like that's not what you said,
but okay.
That's what I said. Play the tape. Replay the tape.
You put him in the same category as Benitez.
No, I did not put him in the same category. I said he's shaky. I said he's been shaky these past couple of years.
We'll replay the tape next week, but Chapman,
look for it.
He's four and four. He hasn't blown a save yet this year. He's been great.
Mm-hmm.
And he's added another pitch. He's added the sinker, which has been devastating.
And that's the difference.
So, yeah, he's looking unstoppable again. So that's good for him, you know, good for him. He's trying to make up for some blown opportunities in the postseason. He's looking sharp so far.
Yeah, this is the guy the Yankees thought they were getting.
Yep.
For sure. And speaking of a closer who's been a dominant closer in his career, but it's been kind of shaky in recent years, especially 2019. And that's, of course, Edwin Diaz. I mean, so far I think he's, 3-3 in save opportunities. And he's been dominant.
Yes.
In his last couple of outings, even in unsafe situations, and today, man, he just dominated the Phillies. Today's game, Tyone was pitching. He went like 6 innings. He gave up 2 runs, but then at the end of the 6, he gave up a 2-run home run to Bohm. And that was his first home run he gave up. But unfortunately for him and the Mets, that tied the game at 4. So, yeah, the Mets scored 4 runs in the first inning, which Mets scoring a run in the first inning would be like the Yankees scoring 10 runs in the first inning. You know what I mean? Like, it's big news whenever the Mets can score a run, much less in the first inning.
Yeah.
But they blew that lead. They blew that 4-0 lead. And they could never tack on a run. So basically, Conforto, who's been slowly but surely getting out of his slump, he hit a bomb in the top of the ninth, and to give us what proved to be the game winning run. And Trevor May on May Day gets his first win of the year. And now the Mets, like the Temptation, have sunshine on a cloudy day in the month of So basically the Mets, they snapped their 3-game losing streak. And they gotta win tomorrow. And take this series because they got swept by the Red Sox, which I'm sure you know about. The Yankee fans, they didn't know who to root for, either the Mets or the Red Sox.
Oh, nobody.
You know.
But, I mean, I knew you guys weren't going to help us out anyway.
Well, we tried. We tried our best, but unfortunately, our 86 magic was gone, so we couldn't beat them again, That's why we're still 2000
world
champions.
Safe to say the Yankees can never rely on either the Mets or Red Sox. So
likewise, we can't trust you guys either.
Hey, we don't owe you guys anything. Just like you guys don't owe us anything.
That's right. Keep it that way. But yeah, man, the Mets, they bounced back from that. They lost to the Cubs. They got swept by the Cubs in Chicago. The offense has been horrible, with the Mets lately. And we're not just talking about Jacob DeGrom starts. I mean, after they had that Jacob DeGrom had that wonderful performance where he threw that two-hitter, what was it, last week or so? The Mets, they haven't been really hitting. Today was their best hitting day they've had in a week. It's not even an exaggeration. it was so bad that it seemed like even though they were in a three-game losing streak, it seemed like they were in like in a six-game losing streak. Because I could barely remember the last time they won a game.
Wow, what's their record right now?
Let me think. What is it? I think there might be 10 and 12 maybe. 10 and 11. I can't remember. 10 and 11. 10 and 12 or something like that.
I saw that you guys hit the. No, was it you guys or Bryce Harper got hit in the face or something like that?
I heard he exited the game.
That was against you guys, right?
We were facing them.
Oh yeah, you guys are playing them, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, I missed the part that he got hit, so I didn't see. But yeah, Friday night there was almost a fight because Dominic Smith was PO'd because Alvarez was talking smack after after I think he got a met out. I can't remember who it was, and Dom Smith was upset about it because flashback. The last time both teams faced each other, Alvarez almost hit Conforto in the head. I think he probably hit him in the shoulder or something like that. And Thompson was like, basically telling him, like, if you're going to hit a guy, don't hit him on the head, And then what Alvarez was like giving him the shush hand gesture and saying, talking trash to him. So when it came yesterday, I think he struck somebody out or something. He was like pumped up. So Dom Smith was charging him out and they had a benches cleared, but nothing happened. And then there was another time they had nearly a benches cleared again. And then, Dom Smith was saying that, if the guy has a problem with him, he can meet him. He don't have to just find him in the field. He can meet him in the, the clubhouse or something like that.
Oh, snap.
If you want to find him.
You're out there running a rumble.
Yep. But, yeah, man, the Phillies, they dominated us on Friday night, man. It was embarrassing. It was embarrassing. Like, how you don't score more than one run in Philadelphia with that ballpark? Come on, the Mets offense is horrible. Like, Wrigley Field, you get swept in that ballpark? Like, come on.
What's going on with Lindor?
Lindor is in such a slump, he doesn't even know he's in a slump.
Wow.
It's like he's in Inception. The dude don't even know he's in a slump. Like, literally. He doesn't think he's in a slump because he's sending balls right at people. And this was the first time in his career he's been booed because they never booed him in Cleveland.
Wow.
But
that contract wouldn't haunt the Mets.
I still have faith that he's gonna turn it around. But damn, like, it's me, man. Wake up.
Yeah.
And this guy was hot in spring training. The whole team was hot. In spring training. I think it's the whole how they missed the national season in the beginning, kind of messed their minds up, and they're still trying to adjust to it. But I mean, right. It's messed up. There's no excuse. And Conforto, he was struggling too until these last couple of days, and he's on his walk here too. So the Mets, they gotta get their act together, man, because this season is a 162 season, but the way how they're playing, this season's gonna end pretty quick.
They get their acts together soon.
Mm-hmm. Because prior to today, the Mets were unwatchable. Their offense was terrible. They're getting good. They're getting good starting pitching for the most part. They've had some games. I think in Chicago where the pitchers didn't go to four innings, which that's dreadful. But other than that, for the season, most of the part of the year, that they've been getting good starting pitching. The bullpen has been actually good. Diaz has been dominant. But, they're not scoring any runs consistently. So they need to get their act together. But shifting gears, let's talk. Wrestling. Yeah, let's talk WWE, man. Biggest thing that happened this week that I could think of was Friday Night SmackDown. You saw it, right?
I saw some of it.
I assume you saw the ending.
I didn't see the ending. I missed the ending.
Well, Roman Reigns has a new theme song.
Wow.
And more importantly, he retained the title. So Daniel Bryan's SmackDown career is over. As we all knew. No surprise there.
I mean, of course. There's no wrestler they're going to have beat Roman Reigns for that title. Unless it's a formidable opponent, like The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Or Brock Lesnar.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe Lashley. But they're not going to make him lose the title to, you know, Edge, who has wrestled in years.
10 years.
In 10 years, and who's older. Or Daniel Bryan, who has injuries, you know, and he's older. You know, they want someone with star power, star attraction, like Rock or Brock Lesnar. Those are the two main guys they'd probably make him lose the title to. Or Lashley, because Lashley, you know, right now he's on the hot streak and currently the WWE champion. So maybe him, but I don't see Roman Reigns losing the title anytime soon to anyone, unless it's those guys that I mentioned.
Yeah, I agree with you. Those are the two guys he's most likely going to lose the title to. The only person who might make him lose the title to down the line, if it's not The Rock, if somehow The Rock isn't able to perform at WrestleMania, WrestleMania 38. The only person I could think of, if it's not Brock Lesnar, of course, because to me it makes more sense for Brock Lesnar to face Bobby Lashley instead of Roman Reigns again.
Well, yeah, that's what everyone wants to see.
What was I going to say? The only person I could see that they make him beat is that could take the title off him would be Cesaro, but that's down the line.
Yeah.
Not right now, because if they're teasing that they're going to face each other, Cesaro's going to lose.
Right.
Because they're not taking the title off him right now.
And Cesaro right now, he's really going at it with,
Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins, yeah.
Yeah, he's in two feuds. Now that I think about it.
Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns.
Mm-hmm. Two former Shield members.
Yep.
Another person who could possibly be down the line, if it's not the two aforementioned Lesnar or Rock, if it's not Cesaro, it could also be Big E once he loses the title.
Yeah. I could see Big E as well.
I'm trying to think what else happened.
I bet they're giving Big E a push. So.
Yeah, they do. I'm trying to think what happened on Raw. I know Matt Riddle and Orton, they tag team.
I might have missed that one. Is that early in the show?
I don't even remember. I assume so. That was on Raw.
Okay.
Yeah, they beat the Benjamin and Alexander. What else happened? This Alexa Bliss storyline doesn't make any sense. I mean, this storyline gets worse and worse by the week. they're acting like Lily was her friend from the beginning, long before Bray Wyatt, but she never shown signs of her being, like, crazy or weird like that.
Yeah.
So it's like they're trying to retcon the storyline, and it's not fitting.
This doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense.
It really doesn't make sense. And I think the fans are dumb enough not to realize it. So, yeah. There's nothing more I could say about that storyline. That I won't say next week because they'll do something else more dumber this upcoming Monday Night Raw. I can't even think of anything else that happened on WWE. I can't even think of anything else. I guess I'll move on to TNA and or I should say Impact and AEW. Impact they what did you say?
I hear that AEW ratings, their ratings are not as great, even compared to SmackDown ratings. So they need to get their act together because it doesn't look like their ratings can even still compete with either Raw or SmackDown. SmackDown was on network TV.
Yeah, they were in direct competition with NXT. Before they moved before they moved their nights.
Are they even beating NXT? Were they even beating NXT when they were competing against each other?
I don't even know. I think sometimes they did. Like, there was one point where they did beat out NXT, and, you know, Jericho came up with the nickname the Demo God when they beat them out. But I don't know how it was, you know, overall. But to recap the Rebellion pay-per-view event, Rosemary and Havoc defeated Kimberly and Susan, the tag team match. Josh Alexander defeated Ace Austin and TJP. Violence by Nature defeated Chris Sabin, Eddie Edwards, James Storm, and Willie Mack. Brian Myers, formerly known as Kurt Hawkins, defeat Matt Cardona, formerly known as Zack Ryder. Jordan Grace and Rachel Erling defeated Fire and Flavor, which is Kira Hogan and Tasha Steele, for the Impact Knockouts Tag Team Champion. Trey Miguel defeats Sammy Callahan, Last Man Standing match. Finn Juice defeats the Good Brothers to retain the Impact World Tag Team Championship. Deanna Purrazzo defeats Tennille Dashwood, formerly known as Emma from WWE. And as expected, Kenny Omega defeats Rich Swann to not only retain the AEW Championship, but to also win the Impact World Championship. So Kenny Omega, he's the AAA champion from Mexico. He's the AEW champion and now the Impact Wrestling champion. But on AEW, they're going to have a special event called Blood and Guts. So, yeah, they're going to have the main event of Inner Circle versus the Pinnacle, which we'll get into that. But yeah, they're going to have a couple of matches. They're going to have SoCal Uncensored, which is Christopher Daniels and Frank Kazarian versus Jurassic Express, which is Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus, versus Varsity Blondes, which is Brian Pillman Jr. and Griff Garrison, versus The Acclaim, which has Anthony Bowens and Max Caster, who was one of Bobby Lashley's sisters in that segment from years ago. Let's see. I think Jurassic Express is going to win this one. They're going to win the number one contender for the AEW World Tag Team Championship. Britt Baker, she's going to defeat whoever she's going to face in the singles match. Unless if it's Tessa Blanchard who makes her AEW debut, which there's a rumor she might sign with them, or even WWE, who knows. Kenny Omega and MT Nakazawa is going to lose to Jon Moxley and Eddie Kingston. Cody Rhodes is going to defeat QT Marshall in a singles match. And last but not least, the Inner Circle, which has Chris Jericho, Jake Hager, formerly known as Jack Swagger, Sammy Guevara, Santana Ortiz versus The Pinnacle, which has MJF, Wardlow, Sean Spears, formerly known as Ty Dillinger, Cash Wheeler, and Dax Harwood, formerly of The Revival, with Tully Blanchard, in a Blood and Guts match, which is pretty similar to a war game match, but AEW's version of it. As much as I'm rooting for Jericho, I think The Pinnacle is going to win this one. So, yeah, that's that, really, in wrestling that I could think of. Yeah, I guess we could shift to the Oscars. Yeah, it was the 93rd Oscars. I saw some of it, but yeah, the biggest news of the night was that, other than Nomad winning three Oscars for Best Picture, Best Director with
Nomadland,
is out. Huh? What you said?
Nomadland, you mean?
Yeah, Chloe Zhao, you know, winning her Best Director award, and Frances McDormand winning the Best Actress award. You know, congratulations to everybody involved with that movie. But the biggest news from the Oscar was, you know, Anthony Hopkins upsetting, you know, the posthumous Chadwick Boseman. You know, the way how they, because from what I heard, normally, as we all know, the Oscar usually ends with the best actor. I mean, the best movie, the best picture at the very end. But, you know, they, for whatever reason, they decided to flip the script, and that made a lot of that gave people a lot of false hope that Chadwick Boseman would finally get that Oscar, even though he's no longer with us, you know, among the living. But, people were very shocked when Anthony Hopkins, obviously he's a, you know, a legendary actor who's been acting for many decades. He won an Oscar for Silence of the Lamb. But, yeah, it seemed like this would have been the perfect time to honor Chadwick Boseman. I mean, this guy was the best young actor of this past decade. You know, he's been in so many iconic films, Black Panther, the Avenger films, the Jackie Robinson film 42, Get On Up, the James Brown movie. Like, I mean, this guy, he was really killing it, you know, in the box office. And, you know, we were shocked to find out, you know, after he passed away that he was, he was battling cancer. I mean, we did notice, unfortunately, towards the end, he lost a lot of weight. You know, he wasn't ready to reveal to people, you know, that he was battling the cancer. He wanted to keep it private. So, you know, people just thought he was on a, you know, he was trying to lose weight for, you know, I guess an acting role or for his health. But, you know, rest in peace, Chadwick Boseman, you know. And, yeah, it would have been nice if he would have got that award. But, you know, hopefully they'll right the wrong and give him a Lifetime Achievement Award. But they ruined a big opportunity of doing that. You know, the eyes of the world was watching them to see to make a statement, but, you know, it is what it is. So, you know, rest in peace.
I don't know what the point was of moving the best actor all the way to the end instead of the best picture like they usually do every year.
Mm-hmm.
Making it seem like, you know, they're going to make this big reveal and have Chadwick win best actor. Mm-hmm. And then in the end, snubbing him and having Anthony Hopkins win the award. It doesn't make any sense, but that's the Oscars for you.
Yeah. And other notable awards was Yong Ya Jung from Minari, You know, she won Best Supporting Actress, and Daniel Kaluuya, you know, formerly of Get Out, he won Best Supporting Actor. So, you know, congratulations to, you know, all the winners and the nominees. You know, even though I didn't really see any of these movies this year, but from what it seemed, there was like a lot of good movies out there. So. Definitely want to check those out.
Yeah, I got to see some of these. Nomadland, I got to see that.
Yeah, the Judas and the Black Messiah look interesting. One Night in Miami. Minari. I guess I got to see this Nomadland, too, to see what the fuss about, you know.
Yeah.
Them winning all these awards. So... Yeah, props to them. Oh yeah, and then Minari, the lady who won, she was like a legendary actress in South Korea. But yeah, so you know, congratulations to her. You know, she won the Oscar, you know, at the age of 73. So, you know, I guess she was able to cross over as a having success, you know. In her native, South Korea. So, congratulations to her and everybody.
Congrats.
We're nominated and won. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I left out. I think I touched on everything I needed to touch on. Anything else you'd like to talk about before, we head out here?
Just check out my show, iMac. Check your local listings and come back. Check out Sports Urban Legend every Saturdays at 11 on Block Talk Radio.
Yeah, you heard the man. Check out his show, iMac. You know where to look for, how to look for it. Check out my YouTube channel, Sports Urban Legend TV. Come back here, check out Sports Urban Legend with me, William Ramo, and him, Macaulay Matthew, every Saturdays at 11. So, again, you know, thank you guys, ladies and gentlemen, for checking out this episode of Sports Urban Legend. And we will see you, God willing, next week. Peace.